ready to receive God's word? Are you ready to become better again? That's what we do here deliberately. We make ourselves better. Better in the things of God. Amen. Better in the things that God has said we should do. So, yes, it's still our Jesus series 2. This is part 3. If you have not joined us from part 1, don't worry, you have not missed so much. But please pay attention from today. We will be. And up to part 4, we'll be taking it gradually. But it will set the foundation for what we now start seeing from part 5. So, please, these are not days you miss. These are not days you give up. These are days you do your best to be in service. That is that you do your best to be up and doing. Are you with me? Praise God. Now, as we are praying, I felt like I should tell you something. Like, how do we put it? See, I'm a Christian. See, I'm a believer. See, I'm not born rebellious. See, I take correction as correction. Not as disdain. Now, have you seen people that maybe you tell them before to pray in tongues and they end up stop praying totally? Are you with me? If we are praying right now. We are saying, come on, guys, we are praying the Holy Ghost. You two pray in the Holy Ghost. And what is the response? You just give up. That is stubbornness. Are you with me? Are you with me? Just like someone should say, don't eat that food with your left hand, and you left the food. He didn't say you should not eat. Don't eat with your what? Left hand. And especially, let me now say, especially in church, that is a place we show that our non-rebellious character so much. Amen. Because the man telling you to do something is more experienced than you in the things of God. See, there is experience in the things of God. And it does not come by your age. That we have seen in this place, that does not even come by how long you have spent in the church. Amen. Praise God. So, always know who you are. Know that you are born flexible. You are born to be molded. There is a growth process. If believers are rigid, then the teaching ministry will be a fallacy. If believers are not programmable, then why should God say, go and teach them? It means you can be taught. It means you can be improved upon. And you will need a man. Do you go to school to argue with your lecturer? No. You say, sir, no. From my mother's womb, I knew MTH better. You listen to him. Are you with me? Praise God. And that means, and think about it, if you want to argue, for instance, if he is teaching you from, maybe let's say, New General Mass, and you want to, or let me say, okay, let's use physics for example. Okay? A lot of people are used to Mass. Anyway, let's use Mass. So, for example, if you are arguing with him based on something he's teaching you from New General Mass, then if you are sure that he is wrong, how do you prove that he is wrong? You first go to something like engineering mathematics, right? Are you with me? To solidify your point, then you come to class, sir, based on what I studied inside a even more advanced book than engineering mathematics, therefore, I can say this is not correct. But for you to just say, no, my own 2 plus 2 is 24. How does that sound? Amen. So that means before someone tells you something from the scripture, before you should even open your mouth to say it's wrong, it's a lie, is it compulsory, all those type of stuff. So why am I even saying all this? Before you open your mouth to say that, what must you do? Go to the scripture, bring out your proof from the same scripture. That is where the conversation should start. Not from your head. Not my father said, my priest said, my dad said, my boo said. Are you with me? Say, I'm flexible. Things we don't do in school, we do in church. That is why I said sincerity is one major characteristic of a believer that will go far with God. Say sincerity. Some people, they just know that they know they are lying to themselves. They know. Things you not do with your boss. Sincerity is so key. Things you don't know, you don't know. You sit down, you'll be taught. To have a contrary opinion, go into research yourself and bring out your strong reasons and sit down with your teacher and just oppose together. Hallelujah. Say I'm not born rebellious. So, don't forget, Bible interpretation is as important as the Bible itself. Amen. Without Bible interpretation, the Bible is as good as any other book. It must be interpreted, especially the Old Testament portions. It must be interpreted. It must be rightly divided. Say the Old Testament. In fact, say the scriptures must be rightly interpreted. Thank you for following. For instance, see this, let's say John chapter 9 from verse 1. John 9 from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth, and his disciples saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered and said, what? Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but what? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. Do you know, if you don't interpret this verse correctly, it will look like the man was blind so that what? Jesus can have somebody to heal. Imagine. That means we are nothing but what? Guinea pigs, pencil in the hand of a mysterious creator. Hallelujah. So that means the intention of the Bible, we are going to fail to arrive at the intention of the Bible without Bible interpretation. You understand? The Bible is written for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, right? That salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, which also teaches us the good character of God, you will not arrive at the intention if the Bible is not rightly interpreted. Of course, this one that we are reading, this disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his friend? To tell you that people, for a long time, they have been associating individual sin with sickness. But if you have studied with us in the last series we completed, you remember Romans chapter 8. For the endless, what? Expectation of creation waited for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made what? Subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by the reason. Look at your Bible. If I quote Romans 8, it means you look at it. That is 20 what? Thank you. That's 20 what? For this, at least for the sake of somebody behind you, you open. 20 what? 20 now and 21. So for the creature was made what? Subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who subjected the same in hope. So the creature there, we mean what? From context that we have explained, we mean what? Come on, Tola, it will mean what? What does creature there mean? Chicken and cats? Man. Man? All workers, stand up. All workers in this place, stand up. When you say, don't worry, thank God I will not be a worker. What is creature? Eh? AJ, what's creature? What are you doing enter and say, why are you then saying inside your mouth? What is creature? Human body. Say it convincingly. Don't be acting like you have not been taught, for Christ's sake. Well, let's close down church and go and join that Jehovah's Witness opposite here. Amen. Come on, sit down. Thank you. Lovely people. Thank you, sir, again. After what you have not told me. Amen. Praise God. So the creature means what? Human body. Okay? Was made, of course, read till, you have to read before and read after and get what we have finished. We are trying to make everything available on the internet already. So don't worry. You have access to everything. Calm down. We are very nice people. Don't say we are. I know we can do that. We are just like that. Amen. We like ice cream too. Okay, what am I saying? Creature, right? Okay, so don't forget that verse said the creature was made subject to what? Vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. So, although we did not inherit the unbelief of Adam, but what part of Adam affected all man? I want to blow somebody new. Eh? What did we inherit from Adam? Is it his unbelief? Is it his sin? What did we inherit? Eh? Use an intelligent word. What did we inherit? You inherit the influence of Adam. You, through who? Mortality. Lord, do you ask me? Amen. Praise God. Mortality. So therefore, but people keep thinking that sin, that sickness was a result of what? Individual sin. But the fact that the body is mortal is already a what? Is a signature for sickness to come in. Are you with me? Mortality is the reason for time and chance happening to them. Whether you have two babies, one will be called one AS, one will be A, one will be SS. Oh, SSS. Which is the power of God correct anyway? Are you with me? Are you getting the point? So clearly, what causes sickness? Is it somebody's sin? No. The type of body that what man inherited. Get to understand Genesis series what? Is it one or two? Both of them, right? Both of them. So the disciples ask him, saying, look at the Bible, John 9 and verse 2. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it is not because of his sin or his parents' sin. Please, in your Bible, put full stop there. After, neither has this man sin nor his parents. In your Bible or in your mind, put full stop, because it's not God that puts the verses, full stop, commas in the Bible. Who put them there? Translators. Okay? So at times they are right, at times they are wrong. So this one, they are so wrong. So just put full stop. So Jesus, the simple answer is that it is not because of his sin or his parents' sin. But right now, what will happen? The works of God will be manifest in him. Why? Because of verse 4. I want to go. I must walk the works of him. That what? Has sent me while it was day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Verse 5, want to go? As long as I am in the world, I am the what? I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he's not saying God made him blind so that I can have work to do. No. Who gave Jesus all this healing work to do? Adam gave him the work. Are you flowing? So you can see that clearly right now, everything we have discussed about the character of God, if you cannot explain this place clearly, it will just, everything will just, bam. Just like you are telling people that God, we give because God has blessed us. We don't give because we don't give for God to bless us. And the people just come to you, that, okay, what of Luke 6:36? Give and shall be what? Given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Yay. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is loom, right? Huh? You know how Nigerians, we never learn. We don't learn at all. Amen. But if you study that one in context, you will discover that what he is discussing is not money, it's what? Open it. Don't tell me anything until you have opened. Don't forget. Look, see it for the sake of your neighbor. Open it. See it. What is this causing there? What you do to men, they will do to you in more proportion. Same thing that Jesus said later, that what? They that kill by the sword shall what? Fall by the sword. Which is not God's making, just something like karma, which is not God initiated. Okay, read what is in Luke 6? Read verse 32. Yes. Yes, next verse. Next verse, yes. Testify, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be what? Great in heaven, and you shall be children of the highest. For his kind to the what? Unthankful and to the evil. Be ye what? Merciful, as your Father is also what? Merciful. He now said in 37, judge not, right? And you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be what? Condemned. Forgive what? And you shall be what? Is this talking about God and man, or man to man? Thank you. That is what he's saying. So that means what you do to man, what will they do? They will what? Do to you. Now saying 38, give. What are you to give? What are you to give? Is it money? No. Forgiveness, right? Good character, love. Give, and what will happen? It shall be given unto you. In fact, they will give you in good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Imagine what we have used, shall men put into your what? Bosom, not shall God. Imagine what you have used this verse to do in the name of offering. You have used this one to collect some people's school fees. Drop your school fees right now, and God shall give you distinction. At times, when you drop the money and the ripple money did not come, they will say, don't worry, maybe God will give you in the form of good health. The trick. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say Bible interpretation is important. So, also, before I continue today, there is an order in teaching and understanding scripture. There's an order. When you are addressing Christians, there is an order. That's order. Don't do it anyhow. There are things that are paramount that we must first teach a believer. E.g., if you look at the book of Colossians, check Colossians chapter 1. Clearly, you will see that in chapter 1, it discussed the reality of the new creation. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us qualified to be partakers of the nation of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the world power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. Then later he talked about the character of God. He said Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He kept talking about who we are in Christ, about salvation. Even in chapter 2, he continued in the same. See verse 6, as you have received Christ, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So immediately he finished talking about who you are in Christ. What did he say again? Be rooted in what? In who you are, right? Establish yourself in your reality. Immediately he finished that. 16. Want to go? Let's read. Let no man what? Therefore judge you in what? Meat, in drink, in respect of an holy day. What is the lesson he dealt with immediately? Condemnation. Things that can bring condemnation to a believer, he quickly dealt with it. He has not even talked about their good conduct. He has not even talked about the one that is smoking should stop smoking, the one that is drinking should stop drinking. Immediately he addressed the issue of condemnation. That's the same reason why Romans spent the first 11 chapters to teach righteousness. Before he now got to chapter 12, verse 1, that now said, I beseech you, dear my brethren, by the what mercies of God to now present. In fact, that was even ministry again. Are you with me? Praise God. Come on, are you with me? Yeah, I know I'm a bit fast. Don't worry, we have lots of teachings here to help you. Just focus and pay attention. So you see that immediately after he finished teaching them who they are in Christ, he taught them about what to avoid, false doctrine. See, let's read verse 20 together. Want to go? Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? See ordinances. Touch not, taste not, and do not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. If you have to use this in this, if you have to use this today, we talk about the, yes, do not use attachment, earring, trouser, nail, everything. Which one is the youth wearing again? I remember the first day I wore a jeans, I felt like the devil. Because they have drilled it into us. You see, that what? Trousers is what? Devil's khaki. Sorry, jeans. That the people that produce it, that they're from like Ogadogu, some of the other places, that's from the Marine Kingdom. Praise God. Now the geo that says all those things himself, he wears in jeans. So, you know, time flies. So, he now go to chapter 3. Come on, go to chapter 3 of same Colossians. Do you know that this, look at this 3 verse 1. This is the reason why at times this chapterizing everything is not too good. And I wish Pastor Niger would say that at times. Let's just read everything together. You know, you will not really understand chapter 1 verse 3 verse 1 if you don't know what he's talking about before. He simply said what? If you then be what? Reason with Christ. Seek those things that are above. Where Christ seated at the right hand. Why is he saying this? Because of what he just finished saying. Don't be subject to ordinances. That means don't focus on things. Focus on spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Praise God. Until after this, then he now started talking about the believer's conduct. See from verse 9, line not one to another, saying that you have put off the old man, which is this, and the rest. So you must be strong about the doctrine of no condemnation. Same way in Ephesians, the first 3 chapters was centered around know who you are in Christ. Don't be shaken. Praise God. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Let's start teaching our salvation. Sorry, our Jesus name. Nehemiah 9:17. Trust me, we are finishing this today. Not cutting this. We have done several times. Nehemiah 9:17. Of course, we have read this before. And they refuse. Please read verse 16 for me. We read 17 together. Read 16. Want to go? Yeah. 17. And refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders, which thou didst among them, but adding their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, God does not forsake man for any reason. You know, if God forsook, So, you know, if God forsook a man because of his action, you know, God just, you know, at times we don't think, eh? You know, if you did something and God forsook you, it also shows that, pay attention, come on. It also shows that he never knew tomorrow. Are you with me? Because since he knew tomorrow today, he will not even wait for tomorrow to forsake you. Amen. He know that, peace will forsake his pastor in year 2000. He will not even be able to save you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, write this clearly in your notes. Sin does not take God away from man. Sin does not take God away from man. But sin is man running away from God. Sin itself, the meaning, is that man is running. Don't forget, if the man is walking, God will catch him. Hallelujah. He's the loving Father. Glory to God. If you are strolling away from God, he will catch you. He can't go. You must really get a fast car and run. Well, his goodness will catch up with you. Praise God. His appeal will catch up with you. That's what I'm saying. Try and get his appeal, his goodness. So, okay, like where we stopped last time, I said, what happens when man asks for forgiveness? So, I said then that forgiveness of sin to man now, can be seen in two lights. Number one, restoration of confidence, right? We did this on Monday. Please, on Friday, we'll be here all night with the word. Saturday, we're going to pray. Restoration of what? Confidence. And two, restoration of, sorry, no, not restoration. Receiving what? Sonship. Please don't put restoration there. Okay? If you say, some people say, when you say Adam fell, that means you are implying that he was standing before. That means you are implying that he was righteous before. That means you are implying that he was already with God before. Then he lost his, then something is missing. If Adam fell, then you can lose your salvation. Amen, amen. Don't worry. Leave that to part 6 of this series. Don't run away, okay? And I'm going to finish it. Finish it by the power of God. Amen, amen. So now, restoration of confidence, in brackets, put righteousness in front of that. Righteousness. Put righteousness. Come on. So, I told you last time too, that when a man asks for forgiveness, the response of God is the revelation of who he is. When man, because we have established from part 1 and part 2 that God does not impute sin, the same thing we just saw again in Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 17. So a man that does not count sin, when you ask him to forgive your sin, what is he going to do to you? He will show you who he is. Are you with me? Don't forget that. When you ask him for what? Forgiveness. What will he show you? He will reveal to you who he is. Don't forget that. So, the response of God is that revelation. The response of God is not a pardon. Amen? Come on, focus. The response of God is not an extra pardon. The response is revelation. Also, write this down. The response of God, or the response that God gives, will be the man's defense against the accuser. The response that God gives will be what? Man's defense against who? The accuser. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 118. Let's see this together. Psalm 118. Come on. Do left and right again. Left, you read verse 1. Right, you read verse 2. Don't worry. Thank God this is not Deuteronomy 28 today. Psalm 118. Left, let's go. Verse 1, want to go? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, because his mercies endureth forever. Verse 2, come on. Straight now say that his mercies endureth forever. Verse 3, let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. forever. Yes? Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endured. Verse 5, I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Verse 6, come on. The Lord is my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. 7, come on. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire on them that hated me. Verse 8, it is better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. Verse 9, it is better to trust in God than to put confidence in princes. Verse 10, all nations compass me above, but in the name of the Lord will I what destroy them. Verse 11, they compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord will I. Verse 12, come on. They compass me about like bees, but they are quenched as a fire of the tongues. For in the name of the Lord. 13, come on. So at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. 14, come on. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my what? 15, come on. The voice of rejoicing. Ooh! And salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord dwells vigilantly. 16, come on. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord dwells. 17, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. 18, come on. The Lord has chastised me sore, but he hath not given me over. 19, open to me the gate of righteousness, and I will go into them, and will praise. Yes, 20. Hey, come on, read 20 again. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall what? Let me stop. Hold on, first. Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? Huh?
Now it's fit to enter Jude. From what I just finished telling you,
what is the righteous? The man that has a defense against the what? Accuser, right? Or the man that has received revelation of forgiveness. Are you with me? Don't forget that. Okay, come on. Verse 21. Come on. Left hand 21. Yes. I praise thee, for thou art heard me and hath become my salvation. 22. Stone which the what? Is become the head of the. Nice, this is Baba that is there. 23, want to go? Yes? And it's marvelous in our eyes. 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glory. 25, save now. Oh, I beseech you. Oh Lord, I beseech you. Send now prosperity. What is prosperity? 26, come on. Blessed is he that what? Comment in the name. So what is the prosperity? Is Donald Trump happy? Yes, blessed is he that what comment in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house. 27, come on. God is God, the Lord, which hath shielded us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. 28, come on. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. 29, everybody come on. 29, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. You can clearly see that this is a messianic scripture, total, about salvation. So you could see clearly that. No, I was defining when man asks for forgiveness. Firstly, restoration of what? Confidence. Receiving what? Sonship. Don't forget that. We are going to analyze some stuff in this psalm later. No, remember what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16. Hi, Jesus. I hope you are ready for us today. It's an after service parole. Hebrews 4:16. Hope you remember. Do you remember? Let us what? Therefore, come what? Boldly. Throne of grace, right? What is coming boldly? That would mean see God for who he is. Confidence. So, this is a sermon that you have to be
mindful of each verb. When I put past tense, past participle, please put it like that too. This, so I said confidence is a result of being convinced of being forgiven. It's the result of being convinced of being forgiven. I'm sorry. Being. It's the result of being convinced of being forgiven. So now, of course, we know the way we define righteousness, right? The ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, yes, condemnation, or what? Inferiority. See this way. So if righteousness is the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, see it all. And God by default does not impute guilt or condemnation. Therefore, righteousness will imply accepting and understanding forgiveness from God's perspective. Sorry. I'll wait for you. You're affected. Okay. Don't leave people alone. Come on. Don't look at me like that. Come on. Look down. I've said it once, twice as good, twice as you heard. Very cap. Okay. If righteousness is defined as the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, and God by default does not impute guilt or condemnation, therefore, righteousness will imply accepting and understanding forgiveness from God's perspective. Therefore, what is faith? Faith is putting yourself in the place to hear. Aye. Faith is putting yourself in a position that you can hear the revelation of God. Don't forget that. That is key. Even in receiving healing and everything. What is faith? I am putting myself in that location where God can be revealed. What is faith for salvation? I put myself in the atmosphere where the gospel is preached. It's not something that is far. My will to pay attention to the revelation of the Father. That's faith. My will to what? My decision to just pay attention. That means, hope you have seen now that both believers and unbelievers can what? Exhibit faith. You have to flow with me so I can finish part one. All this, all after from Sunday, I'll be battling with this thing. In part one. Akoko would draw dead in count. So, to refuse to hear the words of forgiveness of a loving God. You know the meaning? It means you are hearing another voice. Man is never neutral. Let me say it again. If you refuse to hear the voice, the words of forgiveness of the loving God, we imply you are giving heed to another voice via influence. Please put that last part. Via influence. Influence is extensively taught in Understanding Genesis Series 2. So, not to hear the words of forgiveness of a loving God will imply you are giving it to another voice. Well, that message via influence. And of course, that can set you in rebellion against God. Can. So, write this in your note. Salvation is accepting God's nature as true. What is salvation? What is righteousness? I accept God's nature as true. Unbelief is contradicting or unwillingness to know who God is to you. Unbelief is to contradict, or you are unwilling to know who God is to you. Because you know that knowing God will take you to his destination for you. That's the point. John 17. This is eternal life, that they may what? Know thee, true God. So, knowing, I know I'm saying a lot. I should be more gentle. I'm gentle with this. We don't go anywhere. Anyway, so don't forget, what I'm saying is that when a man asks for forgiveness, God responds by what? Revealing himself. Is that clear? That one is clear. Abi? Praise God. Because God in his character does not impute sin. So you now ask for forgiveness of sin. What will he show you? This is me. I don't count against you. But if I refuse to inquire for who God is, what will happen? I will not have what? Confidence. Are you with me? And in my lack of confidence, I will go my own way, away from God. But when I know that despite me, he loves me, what will happen? Hebrews 4:16 will kick in. I will come boldly. Not you, for salvation. Praise God. Praise God. So, I say it again. When man asks for forgiveness, God responds by revealing himself, not by doing anything extra. Not by raising your name from one book of death, or by pouring one invisible blood on your head. He reveals himself to you. That is why that day of atonement in the Old Testament was never complete until the priest blesses the people. You remember? Go back to number 6:22. We read this on Sunday. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Are you there? Okay, let's read from 22 together to 27. Want to go? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak down to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Hold on. What do you see in 25? What will the Lord shine upon you? What will the Lord shine upon you? His face. What would that imply? The revelation of himself. 26. The Lord lift up his whose countenance? His own countenance upon thee, thereby giving you peace. Ooh, glory to God. Why are men in enmity to God? They did not see. Why are men in riot with God? They can't see him. That means a lot is on the preacher. That's why Paul said to make all men see. I love that. He said he will lift up his countenance upon thee, thereby giving you peace. You will just be right. You'll be assured. Glory, glory, glory. 27, want to go? And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Glory to God. Mark 2 verse 4. I'm bring down the volume small. Just one beat. One. Thank you. Mark 2 verse 4. How many hours to your birthday? Amen. That's 5 hours. Sister Grace, you celebrate your mom. I know you don't get that. Amen. Back to us for. I wonder we should be celebrating on people's birthday. Amen. And so when I'm going to celebrate us, when we give birth as well. Yeah? Okay. Mark 2, come on. Sorry, don't mind my theology. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Me, I don't do birthday. That day, I'm a Jehovah's what? No, one will get witness. Come on, Mark 2 verse 4. Sorry, don't take me for real. I'm going to say, hey, I said it. All this thing is teaching you. This is from that yellow book. Please don't take me seriously. Okay, Mark 2 verse 4. Let's read together. Okay, when they could not come near for the press, they uncovered the roof where it was. And when they had broken it up, let down the bed wherein the sick of the person lay. 5. When Jesus saw their what? What is faith? In a position. That means, have you seen that faith is not just, it's not abstract. Faith is not difficult at all. Are you with me? If we just said healing service, what is faith? Bring yourself. That's all. I'm teaching about healing and you need healing. What is faith? Listening. Bring your heart. It's not what you pray for. Power is available with the minister, right? Everything is available in the administration. What are you to do? Bring yourself. Are you getting the concept? Thank you. So, what is the next thing? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, what happened? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, hold on. And start paying attention. This is different. Faith there is different from faith in the blood. Okay? That is different from faith in salvation. That's why faith must always be in context. If I am discussing healing and you came for healing, that is faith for what? Healing. Faith for salvation will be connected with the message being preached. Verse 6. But there were certain of his tribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man don't speak blasphemy? Who can what? Forgive sins but God only. No, they are correct. Hold on. But verse 8. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they saw reason within themselves, he said unto them, why do you reason these things in your heart? Which one is easier to say, hey, for the sake of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Brethren, which one is easier? Which one is easier? Which one is easier? Which one is easier? Glory to God. So that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of palsy, 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into your house. Why did Jesus tell him, thy sins be forgiven thee? Restoration of confidence. A revelation of God. Healing is for Jesus to do something. Forgiveness is for God to do nothing. Forgiveness is what? Revelation. Forgiveness is for God to show you, this is who I am. Healing will be for the minister to take the power of the Holy Ghost to what? To bless that person, right? To bless that person by power, rather. So, Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven, to restore the confidence so that you can receive the healing. Say, God is my forgiveness. So he came to hear faith and he got a response of who God is. Check Luke chapter 7, verse 6. In case that one is not clear enough. Actually, forgiveness is easier. Why? He's not doing anything. You know why it's easier? I say he does not count sin in it. He doesn't count sin before. He's not even counting it. So when you are telling me to stop slapping you, when I'm not slapping you, what do I do? I simply show you that it was taller that I was slapping from the back. It's not me. Is that clear? It's a revelation. Don't trip off. Come on. Don't trip off. If you don't trip off, you will understand. But if once you just lock up your heart, everything will become powerful to you. See Luke chapter 7 verse 36. Because I just saved us from this on Sunday. This is why we want to enter on Sunday. Hallelujah. He saved us, or really? I think he saved. He saved us. You might have a trip off. Luke 7, verse what? 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And he beheld a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisees, which were bidding, saw it, he spake within themselves, this man, if he was a prophet, we know that this is Okiro, that you know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Don't forget in Bible interpretation, who called her a sinner? Is it Jesus or God? No, people. People's perception. Don't forget. Same way it was people in John 9 that said that it is God that put the sickness there. That sickness came because of sin. Are you with me? So don't, before you judge stuffs, look at who is speaking. In one of these days, we are going to come and look at every time that Jesus called anybody a sinner. Who did he call a sinner? We find it out. Not today. Come on. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave. How many did you forgive? Them, send them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, right? And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Who do you think is he that forgave most? Is it the one that committed sin the most? If you are so kind, just say that means, okay, if I have committed 10 sins and you forgave me the 10, and if you just only committed one sin and God forgave you, that just you all love God less. Me, I will mean that I'm a Okiro. I will love God more. I'll be very kind. Keep reading. Verse 44. And he turned and said unto the woman. I turned to the woman and said, see thou this woman, enter into thy house. I enter into your house. You don't give me water for my feet. She has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. 45. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil. Thou did not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Verse 47. One to go. Wherefore I say unto thee, our sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. Why? For she loved. But to whom little is forgiven. The same what? Who did God forgive little? Huh? Don't forget the parable. How many did he forgive? He forgave them both. So, my revelation of forgiveness will determine my service. Or the revelation of God I have will determine my service. That means the better we understand how God forgives, the better we love him more. That is why instead of just saying, I love you, Lord, first talk about he loves me, Lord, something like that. How much more understanding? Now, think about it. The better you understand how God forgives, the better we love him more. How much more upon understanding that God does not even cancel? Like, if you understood how much he forgave you, right? You will love him so much. How much more understanding that he is not even counting the sin? Understanding that, how would that set you ablaze? So great, right? So everybody, let's now read verse 48. 1, 2, go. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Therefore, this is a teaching meeting, not an active forgiveness. It is teaching. Not any active pardon. Rather, what? A teaching meeting. When Jesus said your sins are forgiven, he is teaching you who the Father is. Not that he is. And don't forget, it is when you understand who the Father is that you what? Come boldly. Righteousness, confidence. Okay, verse 49. No, because she honored Jesus and Jesus showed him the ever forgiven Father God. That means what she did, the guys in Mark 2, what did they do? They removed the roof, Rabbi. They forced themselves. That was faith, right? To her, what is faith? She entered. She was what? Washing the feet of Jesus. And what is God's answer again? He's the Father God. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus shows who the Father is. Come on, 49 and 50. Want to go? And they that sat at meat began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? It's not difficult to forgive sins. It's to show man who the Father is. Ooh, 50, want to go? And he said to the woman, thy faith has what? Saved thee. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, right in your note, faith is calling upon God. Aya. The same thing he said in Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of God to approach him. That's faith. See, the first thing to show men about the Father God is how he forgives. Romans 3:24. Go back there. Come on, I'm beyond 60%. Let's do this today. Proverbs 3:24. Being justified freely by his what? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Where is the redemption? In Christ Jesus. Don't forget. 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins before they are committed through the forbearance of God. Don't know how we arrived at that. Let me see your hand. I should know those of you that don't know. So, which series? Last one, right? Seriously, I don't know where to begin this from. I will not leave here today if I analyze that for you again. I have to break down each Greek word. He's not saying God forgave you your past sin. He's saying God ordained in his son that sins will be forgiven before they are committed. Now, but this is where I'm going. Don't forget what we said earlier, not in this series. He was saying it in his word now because he is going to say it in the action of his son. Don't forget. Therefore, you know, I told you last time that why did Jesus die? That the death sacrifice of Jesus is a demonstration. That is not when God started what? Forgiving. So, the ultimate answer of God to man's cry for forgiveness is a revelation of who he is. And who God is now what we saw in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Who God is. Who God is. What he has been saying since. That's what I'm teaching you from that Romans 3:25. What God has been saying since Genesis is the same stuff that he said in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, Hebrews 1 verse 1 again. Don't trip off. Don't worry. You will understand. Don't mind us. We have been on this journey for a long time. So if you just come in and it's looking so strange, don't forget, saints are around to help you. Just be close and start associating, start acclimatizing. Change your friends. Have friends here. Have people that you chat with here. Start having profitable conversation. And you will get it. But if you distance your mind, it will look like we are already far above. We are not willing to leave anybody behind. Are you with me? That is our duty. We bring everybody up in the understanding. But I will not say, okay, Bible study is only for those who have been in church for one year. We can't do that. Are you with me? Praise God. So, but in your consistency, don't worry. Just give us your time. Give us some months. Is that clear? And also, we have trainings in this place. Membership training, workers in training, that will now take you from where you are to Canada. Amen, amen, amen. So, Hebrews 1, verse 1 again. God, who has what? Sundry times. Sorry, I didn't say. Okay. You want to start your quotation? Not yet. Okay. So, God, who has sundry times and in what diverse manner spoken. Sorry, no, by now we should start saying directly. It's not God that is speaking. Who was speaking? Prophets, right? In diverse manner, in sundry times, diverse manner, speaking for God, right? To the fathers, right? But God has in these last days spoken unto us through his son, right? Whom he appointed heir of all things. By whom also he made the words. Who being the what? Brightness of his glory. And the what? Express image of his person. And what? Upholding amen things. All things by the word of his power. Next verse. When he had by himself what? purge our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on earth. So, that is who God is. What did the death and resurrection of Jesus show us? Who God is. Amen, amen. Now, let me come back again to something I said before. In the Old Testament, when they asked that, how do you know God has forgiven you? What would they say? You remind them of what the priest said. When the accuser, that's the reason why we read that psalm. When the accuser, when condemnation tries to come, that no, you are no good, what will man say? No, you will recap again what was said as touching you, what God has said concerning you. That means their confidence. Now, I've told that even in the Old Testament, the New Testament is there. They're just not seeing it. That means their confidence must not be in those plenty rituals. Their confidence must not be in the plenty offerings. If someone asks you, are you sure God has forgiven you? You don't respond by offering another sacrifice. What should you have said? Remind them what the priest said. Their confidence is not in the offering. Their confidence should be in the response from God. And that is what faith is based on. Go back to Hebrews 10, verse 1. Why was the law of Moses, why is it bad? Why is it so bad? The law of Moses made men to focus more on the rituals, not the blessing. On the things. On the different sacrifices. Hebrews 10 verse 1, let me start running. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipper once purged. What happened? Once purged, what should happen? Come on, everybody read verse 2 again. For the worshipper once purged, what should happen? Should no more what? Have what? So that means if at all you must offer a sacrifice, how many times must you offer it? Once. After that once, what must you rely upon? The response of the priest. But in those sacrifices now, what is now happening? There is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Can you see? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Go rush back to that same number 6. Don't worry. Just like when we started understanding Genesis 3, it's no, it was somewhere until we start now getting to those past 7-8. Now everything now starts opening up. Just relax. I'm going to break this till we get to the past 12 that we are going. Amen. Ministers, are you ready for the weekend? Are you ready? They are not talking. They are not ministers again. Amen. All members and workers too, please, after service on Sunday, we have for a pastor's assessment. Live stream. Number 622. I'm very serious. I also want to dash out some Holy Ghost. So, number 622. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise, on this wise. See, if you are focusing on the offerings alone, you will miss the point. It is there too. The new covenant is there. That revelation of God is there. On this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That word keep, please write it down, is the Hebrew word shamar. S-H-A-M-A-R. It means the Lord, S-H-A-M-A-R. It means the Lord guide thee. The Lord will attend to you. It means that the Lord will preserve you. It means the Lord will preserve. He will guide you. G-U-A-R-D. He will protect. In fact, he will attend to you. He will save you. So the Lord bless thee and preserve thee. The Lord bless thee. No, if you are preserved, you don't need any other offering again. Are you with me? See the next verse, verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to unto thee. That face there, like, it talks about like the break of the day. Like a luminous substance. See what he's saying there. The Lord will make his face to shine upon thee. He told you the reason. I'm sorry, he told you the result. When his face shines on thee, what is the result? It will be what? You will see his what? His grace. So you will see God and you will see grace. You will not see requirements. You will see God, you will see grace, you will not see performance. You will not see works. You will not see agon. You will not see striving. You will not see toil. You will see God, you will see grace. Not offering, not faults, not your faults, not offering, but you will see his forgiveness. Write that down. You will see God, you will see grace. 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Of course, I told you that peace there refers to the south, to salvation. 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The word bless them means Yes, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will do them well. The word name there, it means, that's in Hebrew, that's Shem, S-H-E-M, like my honor, my authority, my character. The word name there, name. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. That means you will superimpose my character on them. You will teach them who I am. My character. My honor. So this is what they would have focused upon, but they didn't. What am I saying since? It means man needs not to ask for forgiveness more than once. Man needs not to ask for forgiveness more than once. Once. Because when you ask for forgiveness once, in the answer of God, you will see eternal security. Glory to God. Because when you ask that once, in his answer, you will see what? Eternal security. When you ask God for forgiveness, hear me and hear me well. His answer is not a pardon. His answer is assurance. Glory to God. His answer is assurance. His answer is the revelation of who he is. Hey. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 12:32. Make sure your neighbor is following. If your neighbor trips off, quickly help your neighbor. Don't rush. We are here for one another. Check what your neighbor is writing. Check. Check, 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 check.
Please don't break the decision. Don't break it. I mean, don't stop it. Oh.
Because you know everything we have not really answered. I've not really gone in depth to now why Jesus died. Why did he need to die? Since God can forgive without the death of anybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 12, 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Who is the Son of Man? God that became a man. Right? Ah. How do I put this to you now? I trust God that you understand. What? Now, of course, I know that you know sin against the Holy Ghost. It's unbelief. I know you know. But why do you use a distinction here? Against the Son of Man, you are forgiven. Holy Ghost, you will not be forgiven. Who is the Holy Ghost? Eh? The preacher. You failed us. I'm confessing it so I can. Amen. Who is the Holy Ghost? God, yes. Okay, come on, smile. Don't look at me like I finish you today. Sunday I will finish you, all of you. It's not today. Amen. Now to put fear in your heart. Okay, I said, who is the Holy Ghost? Don't say something so I can pick the answer. The answer is in the mouth of one of you. Yes? Just say. Just keep saying, yes. Who is the Holy Ghost? Yes? Spirit of God, yes? Spirit of Christ, you're almost there, yes? Who else? You mentioned Holy Ghost. You're already inferring what? Trinity, right? Yes. Eh? And I've told you, what is Trinity? Trinity is useless if there's no what? Redemption, right? I said Trinity only makes sense in the knowledge of what? Redemption. So, in redemption, where does the Holy Ghost come in? Eh? In the what? New creation, right? That means the Holy Ghost is God in man, right? That means the Holy Ghost, God in man, is the destination of righteousness, right? Are you with me? So he said, if you speak against the Son of Man, it's okay, no wahala. But if you reject my destination, forget it. Just forget everything I said. Eh? You got it? It's one time we enter heaven. Glory to God. We see you in heaven. Okay, but that's not really what I really want to explain. Come on, see Matthew 12:32 again. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be what? Forgiven him. Why? Neither in this world, neither in the world's world to come. Now, you can see the point that he's saying either in this age or what? Or what age are they in then? Pre-redemption, right? Age to come with what? Post-redemption. Because that is the only thing that's divided the ages. The incarnation did not divide the ages. What divided the ages? That's resurrection. If you see Romans 1, you see it in divide. That's what divided the scripture. Romans 1, Hebrews 1, everything is there. Concerning the Son Jesus, who was made the word of the seed of David according to the flesh, but now declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Hebrews 1, so many times in the last days, now spoke to us in his Son. So, amen, 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 amen. So now, write this down in your notes. So that means when a man in this age right now, when a man comes before God in faith, like when man comes to God in his Son to hear him, what is God's response? Revelation, yes. Thank you. Don't forget where we started from. I said when you ask for forgiveness, there are two things are applicable, right? You can what? Restore confidence, but much more sonship, right? Glory to God. So in this age, is sonship available? In this age, is sonship available? Who said no? Hakim. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Hallelujah. Come on. So we have God's clearest response today. You know, when David understood God, he said those plenty things, right? But to us today, we don't have to say plenty things. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost.
I have the Holy Ghost.
Say, God is in me.
God is in me.
Say, He has come.
He has
made His abode in me. Romans 8. So today, words are not your confidence. He himself is your confidence. In the Old Testament, the response, right? The best of confidence they can get is in the response of the priest, right? Response of the prophets. But today, it's not just about response. Hallelujah. Don't forget from Romans chapter 3, verse 25. The response of the prophet is a function of what he will do later. So, don't worry, I'm wrapping up. Romans 8, verse 1. Come on, let's read together. One, two, go. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are where? In Christ. Hallelujah. I've told you to be skipping that deep part. It's not in the original. Go straight to verse 2. One, two, go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, have you seen the way that people, have you seen the way people beg for holiness? Coming to God, say, God, I'm not worthy. No. In the New Testament, before you tell God about how dirty you are, He jumps into you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before you start soliloquizing about God, me, see my eyes, see me, say I'm tall like you first. Before you finish talking, He jumps into you. Oh, glory to God. He says, shut up. I am convenient inside you just like that. Amen, amen. Say, I am the destination of God. John 14. Come on, 23. Don't worry, just don't give up. You get it fully. John 14:23. Now, have you seen why Paul is saying that they may receive forgiveness of sin? He didn't say that God may forgive them. But that was they may receive. Oh, glory. Come on, John 14:23. Let's read this loud and clear. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, what will happen? He will keep my words. And what will happen? My Father will love him. And we will come unto him. And make our abode with him. Hallelujah. Say, God himself is my confidence today. So, it's a weak communication for man to ask for forgiveness of sins. All man need to do is to ask who is God. Glory to God is a law mindset, is a mindset of law of sin and death to ask for forgiveness before you know God. Did Abel ask for forgiveness before he knew God? Did Abel? No. Did Noah? No. Did Abraham? No. Are you with me? They simply asked. What did Moses ask God? Say, who are thee? Show me your face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it's a weak communication for man to ask for forgiveness before he knows God, because all you need to ask is, who are you? And when you ask who he is, you will see forgiveness. You see, it's nyafun nyafun. Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is what he demonstrated in his son. I am coming to that statement later. This is what he now demonstrated in Jesus. The same thing he has been doing from Genesis. Amen, amen. Say the death of Jesus is a demonstration of the character of God. Not a renovation of the character of God. Please, don't stop this teaching here. Keep, come on Friday, come on Saturday. No, Friday, Saturday is prayers. Sunday is, come on Sunday. Ah, Sunday, God will help us. 7 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be where in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. Want to go? To wit that God was where in Christ. Say God was in Christ. In Romans 3:25, when did he propose in Christ that he will not impute people sin? Before the foundation of the world, right? Now, he now said here that the same God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not what? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, what he has been doing from the beginning is the same thing he did where? In Christ. Don't forget that. 20. Now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Why? 21. I want to go. For he has made him to be what? To be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, can you tell me the intelligent meaning of verse 21 to verse 20? Look at the relationship. Look at your Bible. You can't see into my face. Come on, look at your Bible. Look at it. Read, see verse 20 and verse 21. Yeah. Oh God. What is the link? What is 21 to 20? What started verse 21? For he told you be reconciled to God. Why? For. Okay. Marry me because you went to a girl. Say, marry me because I am a manager. Where at a don't come on, give me a Twitch name. Come on, don't just play that thing. A Cyrotech engineering tech, right? Yes. So, what is Cyrotech or whatever I call it? Cyrotech engineering, it is what. His tool to appeal to the lady. What is the death of Christ? An appeal of God to mankind. An appeal. Romans 8:33. Jesus did not die for God to stop imputing sin. Just two more scriptures and then we'll close today. Romans 8:33. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget, That's why I told you to be patient. All of you remember, I've not said Jesus' resurrection. So what is Jesus' death? Hope you know 7 Corinthians 5:21. It's not talking about resurrection. So hold on, okay? Pay attention. Like, don't try and just understand where we are. We are going to where you want us to go. Where you need Lord. Come on, Romans 8:33. Hallelujah. Awesome. That's the link. The question is, why did Jesus need to die?
That's the question. Why the need for death? The need for life is, that one is predestinated.
Forget. Romans 8:33. Who shall what? Lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifies? 34. If you change your own Bible, who is he that condemneth? Is he Christ that died? Yeah, rather. He's living again at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Last scripture, 2 Samuel 14:14. When you wonder, how can we just go from Corinthians to Samuel? Would there be anything relevant there? I've shared this before. Say, all scripture. Say, if you can't prove this from all scripture, then it's fallacy. Let me first hear your KJV again. One to go. 2 Samuel 14:14. Thank God for Pastor Jola Emi that showed me this verse. You know, it's difficult to see Jesus in Samuel. All you've just seen there is war, battle, javelin, sword, and Mephibosheth. And Joab. And they say, and the sons of Dodo, Eliezer, the son of Dodo, lifted up his spear and what? Slew Oluwa 600 at once. Who is that in Avengers? Sorry. Oh, it's not yet. Thanos did not come. Amen. Come on, read KJV for me. Everybody want to go slowly? Yes? You may not get it clearly in KJV. I love this CEV in this one. CEV, Contemporary English Version, right? He said, listen carefully, we each must die and disappear like water. That means we are hopeless. Like water poured out on the ground. That means man is hopeless. That's what he's saying. Let me say it again. We each must die. Just listen before you write down. We each must die like water poured out on the ground. Talking about the hopelessness of man. Say, but God does not take our lives. Instead, he figures out ways of bringing us back when we run away. He figures out what? Ways to bring us back when we are on our own way. Hallelujah. Oh, my debt is paid. It is painful by the precious blood.